And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merge as always. Merge, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I have a question for you guys. But what's the best team, NBA team of all time? The 96 Bulls, the 2016 Warriors, or the IST Lakers?
that is a tough one. I'm going to leave that up for Raj. Raj, the man, the myth, the legend, our buddy, Big Swole, Big Raj. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Very early Saturday morning here. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. I'm good. Let's talk some basketball. Merge, to your question, sure. The Lakers have like a 110-point win differential in the IST, which is so weird.
Yeah.
Like, they obviously care about this a lot. Is it just I've never touched 500K, so I couldn't speak on it. But is that really just the motivation?
Look at the Pacers. Look at the Pacers, 500K? Man. The Pacers have the lowest payroll in the league, and you see how they're playing.
Yeah, but like their best player makes like $200 million. Like
next year, he starts that next year.
That's fair. Yeah.
Hey, man, Aaron Nesmith, he really wants that money, man. Jarice Walker. Yeah.
Shout out Maxwell Lewis getting a nice little check. I think they already guaranteed 200. They already guaranteed 250K, which is.
I mean, and the two-way guys also get half. They get half. Mm. So that's okay. Good for them as well. Good
Colin Castleton is going crazy in El Segundo right now. That's what he's doing.
Oh man. Well, glad to have you back on, Raj. We had hoped Alan would be on, but he's at the Old Trafford, as he calls it, for Manchester United for European football.
Okay.
So hopefully he is enjoying his time, but it doesn't matter because we are talking basketball. We are talking Lakers. Merge and I talked last week by ourselves, and we rambled a lot because there was not a lot that we really learned, in my opinion, last week. This week was a lot better. 3-0. The Lakers beat the Rockets, the Suns in a close one, and then just curb stomped the Pelicans. It looked like Zion Williamson was more concerned about getting to a Las Vegas buffet than getting to the rim.
Did you guys see that presser with him and Brandon Ingram, where they were asked what they would do with 500K, and they just looked at each other and started laughing?
Oh yeah, porn stars for both of them.
No, don't throw Brandon in there. Don't throw.
Brandon. Oh yes, no, Brandon. Yes, Brandon. He's just as bad as Zion.
No.
I love Brandon. I love Brandon, but yes, he needs to be lumped in there on that one. That dude is also buying all the possible edibles or whatever he wants. That dude, I love him to death, but man, I don't think I've ever seen his eyes fully open.
There were clips of Zion like in college going off the timeline. I was like, holy crap, this was maybe the most freakish athlete I think I've ever seen. Yeah. He's not as coordinated as like LeBron was like at his age and athletic in his athletic freak, but Zion used to like fly in the air. You watch now, he just looks so overweight, and he can average 20 in his sleep. It's just you watch him, it just does not look like he's a motivated basketball player. He looks like a big football player that just happens to be able to make baskets. It's weird watching him. He looks like
tractor trailer. When he was dribbling down the court, I was just like, buddy, like,
yeah, tractor trailer.
Yeah, he needs massive. He needs to be moved. 100%
for both, because for both their sakes.
For both their sakes, they could get some assets for him, and like probably some really, really, really good assets. But like,
what's the worst food state? Send him there.
Pretty much. I mean, like, just Minnesota. Somewhere or. Oh man, or just somewhere that has like actual pressure, because like for the Pelicans, you have essentially all you have is Saints writers and bloggers that are bitching an hour or a day before the game even starts about if the refs let their guys defend. And
hey, the league rigged the Lakers score 133 against the Pelicans, guys.
Yes,
can't believe they did that.
Rigged it. just embarrassing, you know, but whatever. Yeah, the Lakers 3-0. It was great to see some things happen along the way. LeBron is just a freak. Vando return. The return of Vando is good to see. So yeah, let's go ahead. You guys want to start with the Rockets game since that was the first game of the week, sure. At least for us. That game started off Lakers not super great in the first quarter. Second quarter just turned it on. I think it was 38-14. Yeah, Austin mm-hmm. just tore them apart. I think in the second quarter, a couple technicals by Dylan Brooks and Ime Udoka, and then you. Yeah, and then the third quarter, the Rockets actually won that quarter and the fourth quarter as well, but at that point their hole was too deep. But mm-hmm. Ime Udoka got ejected for talking shit to LeBron. Like mm-hmm. just hey man, stop worrying about what other men are doing, and you know you're the one that's running around on what is her name, Nia Long or whatever. Like, come mm-hmm. on. Like, let's be real here, bro. The only bitches on that court was the one on the sideline talking shit. So
it's just funny seeing yeah. him complain about the Lakers complaining when I don't know, he coaches Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say I don't think Dylan was that bad.
No, he's had a
on
he's pretty tame this. He's been pretty tame this yeah. year, honestly.
Yeah,
but he's had a good year. He's yeah. played well.
Yeah. His antics and everything weren't too bad. LeBron was kind of putting him in his place. And so that was good to see. They just really turned it on in that second quarter, where the Rockets could not make a basket. And LA seemed to be getting every loose ball, every steal. Like it was just.
And this is a good Rockets right. team, man. They killed the Nuggets last night in Denver. Like, this is a good mm-hmm. Rockets team.
Yeah, very solid. They're like 500 or something like that.
They're
know?
Above.
Like,
they're above. I think they're above. They're 10-9 now.
Yeah, they finally won a road game.
Oh shit! Yeah, oh so yeah,
they, yeah. Yeah, they're like they're like 8-1 at home last night. They're like 8-1 at home or something like that.
Oh yeah,
and we saw that too.
Yeah, they kill it at home. That's for sure.
Yeah, they beat us by like 30 at home. But that game, to me, the biggest part of that was Cam Reddish was on Fred VanVleet, and I thought he put him in hell. And that was like Cam's first. You know, they say Cam is cooking. Like, that was his first kind of guy that he put in hell, I thought. And he had Fred VanVleet locked in, and that's the kind of guy.
Max as well.
Yeah, both Max too. Max had a really nice game.
Max had 12 points that game. D'Lo did not shoot particularly well. 4-for-10 from the field and 1-for-5 from three. That dude had 5 steals.
Yeah.
Against mm-hmm. Houston. He was good defensively. I know that he got taken out for a decent chunk. He only played 26 minutes. Not that he even really needed to play a ton of minutes, but 5 steals in that time. Also a lot of deflections. There was one where Dylan Brooks was getting an entry pass, I think in the third quarter, from the sideline. No, it wasn't from the sideline. It was just, I think it was from Fred VanVleet or something like that. I can't. Anyways, whatever. Dylan didn't seal him off, and D'Lo tipped it, and it ended up going out of bounds. But like, he's not Derek White, like you know mm-hmm. how he was saying he was trying to model himself after. But like, his defense has been a lot better.
Then I'll become Derek White. Shave your head, D'Lo. Right? Go bald.
That would look weird.
His defense is you know. It can be, you know, up and down or whatever. But I would say compared to like last year, it is so much better overall and even game to game. But he, you know, D'Lo was good. Max was good. Max needs to continue getting minutes.
Yeah, we'll get into Max. It goes to the next two games.
Yes.
But on D'Lo for a second, it kind of started a trend for these next couple of games, because there's with the wings returning defensively, it's really letting guys like D'Lo and LeBron camp and just rack up steals. And we'll get into that more as we get into the next couple of games, but it's very noticeable since we have all of our defensive guys back.
Yeah. when you have all those wings, like you're allowed to play these small guards, right? You can kind of make up for what they do. And D'Lo's not a small guard, but I'm seeing just in terms of his defensive kind of prowess, allows him to use his length and stuff like that. And when LeBron is engaged too, that you have LeBron and Cam out there and AD on your back line, then D'Lo can kind of play passing lanes. You talked about the 5 steals in that one. I think he had 3 steals in another game going forward. And he's just been engaged. He's not going to guard like the 1A guard types, so throwing him on whatever's the non-shooter, throwing Torian or Cam on their best defenders. But D'Lo's been really solid, and he's running point in those starting lineups. Like, it's allowing LeBron to not have to walk the ball up every single time, not have to run the offense the whole first quarter. They're kind of giving D'Lo like his show in the first quarter, and I think that's kept him engaged and kept him like engaged on defensively. So he's been solid. Like, I think just getting the plethora of wings back, allow him and Austin and hopefully Gabe when he comes back to like play while, you know, just being long and having all this length across the floor. But yeah, D'Lo's been good. He's picking shots. I think he leads our team in deflections in like the last 10 games or something like that. He's played really well. So I think he's a better defender than he gives himself credit for. Like, when you watch him talk, he's like, I'm just not going to be able to guard. Well, that's part of that's on you as well. Like, I think like part of that's just because you don't try. I think he's a better defender than he's shown, but he's played really well. I think he's like one of our leaders also in like the plus minus category too.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. He's been other. He was -2 against Phoenix. Oh no, I'm sorry. I take that back. That was Max. I had skipped to Max since we had been talking about him. He was a -7 against Phoenix and a -4 against OKC, but a +31 against Detroit, a +8 against Houston, and a +23 against New Orleans. No surprise on those ones. You know, even with the negatives of OKC, that one was just a bad game. If I remember correctly, I think we talked about that one last week. That game wasn't much to learn from, just because like there were a lot of guys out. I think there was 3 or 4 dudes out. You know, obviously Vando was out. You know, I think Reddish might have been out. Jackson Hayes, I think, was out. That was the game. I think they literally only played 8 guys, which is difficult when you have a team like OKC who has 12 guys that they can play and should play every night. And then
really quick on OKC, that game changed in my opinion. We took Max out. Like, Max was on Shea. If you remember, Max started that game. They had Max on Shea, and I think Shea started like 0-4, 0-5. We were up 14 in the first quarter.
Yep.
Max came out. We put Torian on Shea, and Shea hit his next like 8 shots, and like they cut the lead to 7. And then AD went out, and then they just took over. But yeah, only 8 guys. I just like, to me, that's where the game changed, and also that was like, oh shit, like Max can really guard these like, you know, ball handlers that are super like offensive creators. Yeah. Like, he can really stick with them and contest. Yeah. And I thought he gave Shea fits as much as you can give. Shea fits in that one. So just quickly on OKC, I was like,
he did it against Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell too.
You know, like the fact that he's able to do that, and then, you know, if we continue on, like after Vando came back and, you know, everyone was kind of healthy, that Phoenix game he only played 8 minutes, and then he only played 17 against New Orleans when he was really good. You know, obviously Detroit, he didn't shoot well, you know, but like that's whatever. Like they didn't need him to shoot super well. He shot well for the most part against OKC, shot really well against Houston. Against Houston, he had 12 points. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He handled the ball some even against Houston. And then Phoenix, they're like, you know what? You get 8 minutes. Like that just doesn't make any sense. This is, if he's already defending guys that well, and Torian, I'm going to say Torian has shot really well in the last eight games or something like that. His defense has still been atrocious. There is under no circumstance that Torian is even a top 6 defender on this team. He is, I don't even know if he's a top 6 wing defender on this team, and there's only like 7 wings, which only 7 quote unquote, but you know, like he's behind Vando, he's behind when LeBron is engaged, he's behind Max, he's behind Reddish, he's, you know, it's just like he's such a bad defender, and he's being matched up against guys that are so good. And I don't get it. Like, if anyone is losing minutes, it should be Taurean. It shouldn't be Max. Max is showing, while he may not have, he hasn't had that 5-for-8 game like Taurean had against the Pelicans the other night. He hasn't had that yet. Like, I would much rather bet on his defense and him going through those ups and downs than Taurean of giving up 20 plus a game because he can't defend guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I think the way they see Taurean is he's a shooter that can be passed, that's trying to be passable on defense, right? So they'll put him on, like, I think Torian's okay in terms of a team concept. Like, he was fine on Brandon. He was fine on Brandon Ingram last night, and a lot of that was also just Brandon Ingram. But, like, I think he was fine with, like, AD flanking him, and he'll do the right thing. He just won't be in the right spot. Like, I think his body doesn't catch up to his mind a lot of the times. But he's shooting 44% on threes in the last, like, 9 games. That's the vision with them, right? Because he's obviously the best shooter out of him, Cam, and Vando. I think Max is kind of their fourth wing that they're kind of putting him out there for. But, yeah, I think that's the vision with Taurean. If he's going to shoot, he's obviously not going to hit 5 threes a night. But if he's going to provide at least somewhat spacing, I think that's the trade-off. Where, like, you have another one of those, you know, wings out there with him. So it's Taurean with Vando, Taurean with Cam, to where, like, the hit on his defensive kind of struggles is a little less. But he's at least been fine. I think Torian's been okay the last 8 to 9 games. I agree with you. He's not one of our best defenders. It's just his shooting kind of evens that out, right?
For sure. To has. Where he, mm-hmm. My thing that I'm going to just fight against is that he shouldn't be getting as many minutes then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't need 39 minutes. Like, that's the part.
I mean, 23 against Detroit, which he didn't need to play a ton because it was, you know, a 26-point win. Mm-hmm. Still played 32 against OKC, 29 against Houston, 27 against Phoenix, and 23, which, again, wasn't needed against the Pelicans. But, like, mm-hmm. 27 and 29 mm-hmm. in two games that, like, the Houston game, they won by 10. That game was not even that close because with 4 minutes left, they were up by like 18 and they just kind of mm-hmm. emptied the benches. I get, like, the shooting, you know, and I'm not here. I know, like, this entire season I've been just dumping on Taurean Prince, and he has improved. So I'm going to give him that. My thing continues to be, he should not be a 3-4 rotation guy. He is a guy that I still think in 12 to 15 minutes can be highly effective. Then he can expend more energy on defending guys. And mm-hmm. he could still, in those 15 minutes, he could still take 5 threes for all I care. You know, mm-hmm. like, because other than the New Orleans game, he's been shooting 4-5 threes essentially a game. Like, in every 3 minutes, like, in a 15 minutes, I don't care. Like, you know, the quarter three, even though he's been shooting awful at them, like, if he's it makes sense, you know.
Yeah,
but
you
can't play him that much, man, especially with Vando back, Reddish back and playing still pretty well. His shooting has kind of fallen off, and then Max, like, I just he is the, in my opinion, the clear fourth best guy out of that
And I think that'll happen once, because Vando is still on a minutes restriction, and so is Rui.
Yeah.
So both of those guys, I think, are still capped around.
Rui.
Yeah, they're both of those guys are capped around 20 minutes, I think, right now. So once that goes up, then Taurean's minutes will go down. But I think that's the good thing about this team, is that, like, you have a variety of wings that don't really step on each other's toes in terms of skill sets. All those guys, I think, do things differently. Cam, in my opinion, is our best, like, chaser, like, going around screens, screen navigator. I think Vando's just our best all-around physical defender, our best rebounder other than AD. Max, it's weird. I think Max is our best, like, technical defender. Like, he's the most fundamental. Like, he's the one that, like, does everything, like, that exactly the way a coach would teach it. And he's, like, 20, which is absurd. I think Taurean's the guy you throw out there when you want your spacing and just will stay in front of a guy as much best as he can. So I think all those things will coalesce correctly once, like, their minutes distributions come back, and then throwing Gabe into this mix somehow. But yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that. Like, if Taurean's not playing well, we have options. It's just Clay, we were out. We had no wings for like 3 weeks. So Torin had to play like 35, 36 minutes.
No, for no sure. Wings. It was when Torin was playing that much and Max was playing like 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my thing. And then when he finally, when like Max was like, when Darvin was forced to play Max.
To start him. Yeah.
He was forced. There was no other option other than, I guess, like, going back to starting Austin, which they're not doing, which is working. You know, he's essentially taking that Manu role, and he's doing really well at that. He was being forced into that, and it worked. He was really good. Like, everyone's like, holy crap, a 20-year-old or however old Max is now, 21-year-old, whatever, is defending Donovan Mitchell and, like, preventing him from scoring in the last minute. Like, how many 20, 21-year-olds are doing that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, like, Sir Thompson, maybe? Like, maybe? I don't even know. Go ahead. Side note.
Unrelated. So, Lakers win. So let's say the Lakers win the night, right? What are Max and JHS and Max Lewis going to do?
Oh, man.
I'm sure they'll find a way in.
I think Max is Lewis 21.
Oh, he is. Okay. I'll look it up real fast.
Get JHS back to LA. Get him on a flight. I'll be at the game tomorrow. There's a South Bay game tomorrow here in Ontario. Get JHS out here. I want to watch him play. I want to come see him.
Max Lewis is 21.
I should not be watching Scottie Pippen Jr. run 50 pick and rolls. That should not be happening. JHS, come out here.
Yeah, Max Christie is not 21 until February.
Wow. And JHS, I think, just turned 20.
Yeah. That's hysterical.
Have you heard Max Christie talk? Like, he sounds like a 9-year veteran. Like, that dude does not sound like a 20-year-old.
He is the guy that is a young guy with a vet mentality, and it's just, that is why I like just what I've seen, and you know, looking back at everything with the draft, I am so sure that he is going to be capable of doing things that people last year were saying that he couldn't do. I'm
like, the off the dribble stuff, or
yes, the summer league thing stuff, I think will come. He's tried it in games.
No, it's
just it just hasn't been falling yet.
There was that one pull-up mid-range that he has.
He's patented that now. It's, like, that's his shot. The one dribble right pull-up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and he's hitting, like, it was, what, Phoenix, that three at right before the end of the quarter, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, he's making bigger shots, you know? Like, it's been rough, like, with most young guys. It's gonna come. I'm so sure about that. That is also one reason why I do not want to deal that guy.
Yeah, he's a guy who's either gonna he's gonna be like a on the team for like 10 years, or he's gonna be like a super valuable trade piece for them in the next year or so.
Oh yeah,
and he's for the free agent this year. I wonder how much he gets, because this isn't an Austin situation. He's not gonna get like Austin money.
No, but. I think if it continues, I think it's going to be let's just say that if I told you that it's like 4-40.
Oof.
If I told you that last year, everyone would have laughed. I would not be shocked.
Oh, I don't think he's going to get.
And it's just weird
I'm not saying that it's for sure that it's going to happen. But look at some of the just stupid deals that get thrown around all the time.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, restricted free agency is nasty. That's a nasty business. And I think he's going to come away with something like a 2-year deal with a player option the following year.
Yeah. I think it'll be a 2+1.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if for the love of God, if we do not. If we continue to sign guys to 2-year contracts, I swear to God, I'm going to hurt someone in the.
It's why the Rob Pelinka exception was created.
Yes, yes. To prevent him from doing that dumb shit again.
Yeah. Well, Maxwell Lewis is on a 4-year deal, at least. They do got a 4-year contract.
Thank God. Even if he doesn't turn out, like, thank God. Like that's easily cuttable or tradable. Like, just, that deal last year pissed me off because he should be on the roster for another 3 years after.
It's created this domino effect. The way that they handled second round undrafted guys, it created this domino effect of essentially it's why we lost Caruso. It's why we lost THT. Mm. Pretty much.
Well, THT, they re-signed, though, right? And then they...
That's what I mean. If he was on that four-year deal, then he wouldn't
have... Yeah, then you wouldn't have to. Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't sign Caruso. In their mind, they didn't sign... It seemed like it was THT or Caruso, even though it shouldn't have been. But in their mind, it looked like it was THT or Caruso.
You know what's crazy? Like, Clay, to your point, I think Max has already shown more than, like, Talen did. Like, Talen had that flash in the pan in the playoffs. And after that, never really like showed any consistent play that leaned towards winning.
I will say that when essentially it was supposed to be time for Talen to take over, what was the move?
Yeah, they traded for Russ and like,
and they played him with Russ a lot.
No. Talen got the contract before Russ, did he not? I believe so.
Because Russ was the Caruso year. So
that's what I'm saying. So like. But I mean, like, just before the contract, we're speaking on Max's next deal. Like, Max has kind of shown more than, like, at least as a winning player than, like, Talen got to. He was hurt, right?
Talen. No, sure. It was the same. Talen was hurt. He had the foot injury.
And he was overweight.
He was overweight. He was also, I will say, he was more raw, even more so than Max coming out. Because, like, also, if you look back, THT and Tyrese Haliburton were the two guys on Iowa State. And honestly, a lot of the time it was THT's team, which is just insane to look back upon. He just never really was forced to progress from even what he is now. And I still like THT. Like, he's not a bust by any means, you know, like a second round.
It's hard to be a bust when you're 46th pick or something.
Yeah. I think it was 47th, but semantics. But you know, I think like
46 was Clarkson. I think that's what one thing.
Yeah. Was. So like, it was like he was like I was drafted as this. They want me as this. You know, at the time they had more shooting, KCP, Caruso, or Kuzma, you know, stuff like that. So like
Danny Green,
he could just. Yeah, Danny Green, he could continue to be what he was, you know, of just let me drive to the basket and kick it out. And it never was forced to really change, especially like what is he going to do when it's him and Russ playing, you know, like that team was such a fucking disaster. and just oh my God. And then traded to Utah. He's had some games here and there that are pretty good, some that are just like whatever. But you know,
but doesn't look like he's changed in Utah though. Like, I was watching the Utah Clipper game last night. The exact same THT, same exact move. Right,
which is crazy because it's like they have like really good PD guys and like a really good PD coach.
But like if you're playing THT, that's the role he has to play with. And I kind of want to like compare this to Cam Reddish, right? Max as well, but like Cam, right? Because like I think Cam went through, and Cam never got paid like Talen did. But just in terms of like, this is who I am, and this is what I'm gonna be. And now like he's on his fourth. Cam's on his fourth team, right? Atlanta, New York, Portland, Lakers. Yeah. So Cam's now on his fourth team, while THT is still kind of being pushed into this. Hey, we still believe in you as this main ball handler, and like Cam's completely shifted the other way in terms of. No. That's not what you're going to be on this team. You're going to be a lockdown, like, point of attack defender. Your shots will come and go. You might shoot 2 times in a game. You might shoot 8. And I think that's a fascinating way to look at it. And I think that's the route that Max is in. But seeing Cam make that spin and you, like, juxtapose that with THT, who just never could have accepted that, right? Like, that was probably what THT was supposed to be on that those Russ teams, right? Like, he was supposed to be this long-rangey wing defender who had ball skills. he just never accepted that. And it's cool to watch Cam kind of accept that and kind of channel his energy there. But
who was going to be the one that quote unquote mentored him to do that? And don't no, and like, let me stop that by saying, I know you have LeBron and I know you have AD on there. There was no other wing defender on that team because Russ hasn't fucking defended since he was at UCLA. So like, who else was going to mentor him that in that position?
For sure, but I don't think they even saw that. Like, you pay THT a bag, quote unquote. Like, you expect him to be this on ball guard, right? They paid him like he's Gabe Vincent. Like, they paid him like he's whatever. So like, I don't even think that was in the frame of like, that was supposed to be Trevor Ariza, right? Yeah, that was Trevor Ariza's role.
Yeah, like, that was never really pushed him to do more. And I don't think Utah really is either. And I think that's a disservice to him. And the fact that he hasn't really noticed it is unfortunate. It's probably going to just be like, while he's probably, you know, he'll probably be in the league another 5-6 years or something like that.
Yeah, he's definitely an NBA player, but he's like an eighth or ninth guy on your team.
The talent is the talent. Like, he's gonna continue to get chances because his like floor is such a like highlight maker that like some team's gonna continue to believe in him. Yeah, it's interesting. Mean, like being, when you compare that to like Cam Reddish,
6'3", 6'4" with a thick core and 6'9" wingspan, 6'10" wingspan. That'll play. That will always play. You know?
He's not guarding anybody in Utah. Like, I was watching the game. He plays no defense. Just none. Okay. Absolute awful. Reaches in. Defensive stance.
None of that team really plays defense either. But, I mean, especially when you have a guy like John
Collins. Will Hardy's like a serious coach. Like, he's like a legit.
No,
like,
he's a good coach. It's also just look at the players around him. Jordan Clarkson has never been a defender. Keontae George is a rookie who's not really a defender. Like, it's...
Colin Sexton is a fake defender. He's gonna slap the floor a few times, but he's not a defender.
It's Colin Sexton is a wannabe Patrick Beverley. That is just represented by Clutch.
Yeah, he's paid a lot.
Will Hardy.
You know what Colin Sexton's deal is, by the way? I found this out the other day.
It's stupid. It's a lot of
4 years, 70 for Colin Sexton. That's a lot.
I think he's still got like 2 years left on it as well.
No, he's got three. He just signed it this summer. Gosh, yeah. That was this summer he signed it.
No, thank you. No, for sure. Thinking along the lines, though, of like Max developing like Cam is now, I think that's the best way for him to go about it. I think that was something that Merge and I talked about even last week, and I'm sure with you and Alan the week before and whatnot. If I think it's the best way for him to develop is to get that good floor of high value defense, and the offense is something that will come. It's something that he's shown that he can do. Will it be, you know, what I hope it could be? Maybe not. But like, if he turns into Josh Hart, who the fuck is mad at that?
No,
he's a better defender than Josh Hart. Already, like, at the point, like, he's more skilled, in my opinion. I think Cam's already past that, which is so wild to watch. Like,
I was talking more about Max.
For sure.
That. But I mean, Cam, like, how he can slither around screens like that is just like, if you told me that, you know, 2 years ago when he was just traded to New York, I would have been like, I'm not sure about that one, because like, he's not shown any inkling of defense, like just no trying. Mm-hmm. And then when he went to Portland, I would have still been like, I don't know. Like, so like the transformation for Cam has been ridiculous. There's already, I think also Raj, you had mentioned this the last time that you were on, of like giving him the mid-level next year. Like, yes, please. I would happily do that.
That's an option for sure.
You know, that is something that I would undoubtedly do.
Yeah, get him. I think you should get him at least on like a two or three more year deal. I mean, the dude's still only like 25, right? He's like super young. 24. Still.
I mean, 24, like, yeah. He's only like 23 or 24. I'll look it up.
I think the offense will come. Like, you're seeing like the floodgates open up
just
a little bit.
Just turned 24 in September.
Like his offensive floodgates are starting to leak out a little bit, and you'll see it when like he attacks closeouts. I like him taking the open corner three. He's not shooting a great percentage, but like at least that keeps defenses honest. But once he gets to attacking closeouts, that's where the special like Cam Reddish offense comes in. And like one thing he does that our offense misses so much, like Torian doesn't do this, D'Lo doesn't do this, and they're starters. LeBron does it sometimes, but Cam attacks the rim. And he gets to the line, like he gets fouled. He'll get it. He'll get contact at the basket. He'll like slither around and like get fouls, and that stuff is important. No, he's been fun. He might like Cam might be our like most important free agent signing. Someone told me that like look at like who we signed as a free agent. Cam was kind of like the most important one. It was him and Wood and Gabe Vincent, right? All those other guys were re-signed.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Jackson Hayes, yeah, Jackson. But I think Cam's been better than Jackson Hayes. Cam's been more prominent role.
Cam is shooting almost 59% of his three-point attempts in the corner. He's shooting 37% from three.
Yeah, that's really good.
Would you wish it to be like 40% like Torian's career? Yeah, for sure. And if that's
the case, think he hasn't shot a ton recently as well.
He hasn't.
Mm-mm. No, for sure. But like I think. You know, he was hurt. He was out. You know, mm-hmm. along with, as I was telling Merge and Raj, I know that you play ball more than both of us. I haven't played for I don't even know how long. But like, if you say you tweak your groin, right? A groin is like a stabilizing muscle. If you have tweaked that and you don't have confidence in your foundation for shooting, that's going to have a negative impact on your shot. And that's why, like, I think it'll come back, because he was shooting like 37-38% overall from three for a while. I think it'll come back. I'm not saying like he'll shoot 37-38% from three for the year. But like if Cam Reddish is shooting say 35 or 36%, because right now it's at like 32 overall. If he's shooting 35 or 36, which is about league average, I think.
Yeah.
And he's playing with this type of defense. Yeah. That is a dude like Dante DiVincenzo got what? 4 and 50?
No. Something he like got that. Like, he got like 470. Yeah. Or something
did he
like
really
that.
Get 70? God. Like,
yeah,
that's,
Dante got a lot.
League average right now is 36. Just to.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if it's slightly below, say, let's split it, 35 and a half, you know, like that is a valuable piece. No, it was Dante was 4 and 46.87. So,
I'm thinking Hart. Yeah. Hart got 4 like 70 or something like that. Yeah. I think Josh Hart got it.
I'll look his up to just be. 481. Oh, buddy. Shout out to Josh Hart, man. He's made over $100 million playing basketball as a 25th overall pick or something like that from the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like
he's a guy that I always regretted
always
losing, man.
Yeah. That yeah. was
he's if, not but he's not a what is it? Was it 470? Like he's not that he's not that contract is that's a balloon contract for him at least, right? Like a guy who doesn't like he can shoot but like doesn't really take shots in high leverage moments. I love Josh Hart. Like I'd love him back.
Yeah.
That's a lot for Josh Hart. That's a huge contract.
For sure. I think what it was is they wanted like his defense is strong. You know,
he's a good rebounder.
He's a good rebounder in my opinion.
Which is hysterical considering he's like 6'4".
But
like you know, he's let me look up what he's shooting this year from three. 37% from three this year, 35% from his career, but he's gotten better. I think a lot of that was dragged down by his half a year last year with Portland. He didn't really shoot a ton there. And then
remember that summer league where he was like shooting off the dribble, like pull up numbers and stuff.
And see, that was where I was comparing Max to Josh, because like Max kind of had his Josh Hart. It wasn't quite how Josh Hart was that summer league, but like he had his moments.
I mean, Josh Hart won like summer league MVP that year.
Yeah. But like also Josh Hart was drafted as a 4-year senior out of Villanova.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, like he was older. And so he had time to practice all that stuff. And, you know, like if Max turns into Josh Hart plus, you're looking at $100 million player.
Because he's a better defender, and he has the ability to be a better shooter, like a 40% shooter, I think, from three.
Yeah, I think Max is such a clean stroke. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think it'll come. Oh my god, phrasing, with everything.
talking about
the Raj's face when I said that was just like. But you know, it wouldn't shock me. He's also a little, he's taller, a little bit longer, I think. I think Josh is a little bit, has a thicker core. God. But you know, like, it's just
descriptions.
Descriptions. I know it's like the, I don't know why my husband likes football. And then you hear the football announcers, he's wide open. He just ran through that, slammed it right there on the hole. That's what it feels like right now. But anyways, let's go ahead and move on. We talked Houston, Phoenix. We can chit chat about. I wasn't really concerned about that game. If that feels weird, I know like Phoenix ended up taking the lead in the fourth quarter by like 3 points.
Yeah, I think KD hit like a three to put him up by one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then like Booker was in foul trouble. KD was in foul trouble.
Foul trouble, seven turnovers.
Yeah, they had 10 turnovers in the first quarter.
Yeah. And they had, what, 22 like, in the whole game? Something like that?
Yeah, which means that they cleaned it up some, but like dang, man. they like Vando played much better against Phoenix than he did against Houston. I don't know actually how Vando shot, but his defense looked cleaner. He looked more confident.
I don't think he's made a bucket yet since returning. No,
I think he had New Orleans.
He had like a dunk in that Pelican game. Yeah.
Which I mean, like that's not really what you're super concerned about with Vando, even though you do want him obviously to be able to hit a corner three. But I think that'll come as well. But
Even if it doesn't, you don't need. I like to me. Vando provides so much other stuff. That I don't like. I would love a corner three. A corner three Vando is like a $20 million player. You know what I mean? So you have
really,
it's why locking him up for what we got him at.
Yeah, it's an awesome deal.
Yeah. Really quick, think back to what Jeremy and I'm not. I am not saying this is what he's going to turn into. Think about what Jeremy Grant was before signing with like Pistons.
Before Denver, maybe? Before Denver?
Oh, Denver, yeah.
Where he was a really good defender, not a very good shooter, but liked to shoot. And then all of a sudden, he was given a bit more of a green light, started shooting more. Now I think he's like a 40% three-point shooter or at least something like 37, 38 on high volume. Like he's just turned into like an offensive guy as well. Less defense, but like if like Jeremy Grant, and I remember watching Jeremy Grant at Syracuse, that dude could not shoot. He could not shoot, you know, and he was more of a wing, and Vando before the last couple of years was more of a small ball big essentially. Mm-hmm. And now like he's with, excuse me, especially with Utah. Yeah. Especially with Utah, he turned more into a three. So like I find it interesting, not something that I'm saying will happen, just something that I have thought of recently while watching. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, Jeremy Grant just was not, he was just a really good defender, but could like, I mean, cause he was, Jeremy Grant was like a second round pick as well. Kind of like floated around, just, you know, not floated around like the league. Like, I don't think he was like two way hopping or anything like that. But it felt
Sixers like, and then like Nuggets essentially were his first couple teams.
Yeah. And so he just wasn't great, and then with Denver, then he took off and signed that like 3-year $60 million deal with Detroit, and then obviously now the just
the max stupid deal with Portland.
Yeah, whatever it is there now. Like that's I'm not saying that will happen, but like if you could get like
half of that,
half of that, like yeah, buddy. buddy.
Especially offensively, because Vando's a much more talented defender than Grant, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think Jeremy Grant was a good ball handler. I'm not saying like Vando is crossing anyone up, but like
Vando can grab and go at least.
Yeah, he could grab and go. You know, like he can hit on the short roll and stuff like that. Like he's not a bad passer either.
No,
you don't want him doing. You don't want him doing stupid passes, obviously. But like he's not a bad passer.
I'd actually say he's a good passer, honestly.
I think he's a solid playmaker. I think we can tap into that more. I don't think we tap into that enough. Way too many times, Vando gets a rebound and he has to go look for a guard. I'm like, go push it. Like go run the. On the floor, get
it's the same transition. Same thing we said with like AD and stuff. Speaking on that, I've noticed because in the first like 15-ish games, we saw a lot of Austin bringing the ball up and getting defended full court. They have 100% removed that. He doesn't bring up at least when there's a guy pressing, he does not bring the ball up the court.
No.
They have like AD bringing up the court because
AD or LeBron,
Rui or something
with LeBron, because teams are full court pressing him every time now when he brings it up, like just to kind of kill his legs, and like they just don't see him as an above average ball handler, which I think you can agree or disagree. But I like that, like LeBron, you know, when he plays with LeBron can bring it up, AD can bring it up, D'Lo when he plays with him. I think it's put Austin back into the role that like where he's special, where he's like off the ball, like coming off of screens. His pick and rolls are more on the wing instead of the top of the key. Austin's been solid. But that's a good point, Merge. Like, I think that kills his legs when he has to like go laterally left and right against like these super heavy point of attack defenders that are just on his hip. Like they had like Dyson Daniels picking him up full court. You know what I mean? Like every single
That was where I noticed it the most, but I picked it up a couple games before as well. But whenever there's someone like right there with him, they're like, okay, just have someone else come up and then bring it up and have Austin just come up the wing. That's what they've been doing. So maybe they stop pressing and then he can bring up a lot more and then he can kind of switch it off. But at the moment, it's a smart way to get him back into that sort of playmaking ability and shooting ability that he has. Honestly, I think you want him to like not have a pass first mentality because he's such a special mid range scorer and like off the dribble game foul the kind of guy, and him bringing it up constantly, it would kill any of those movements he would have to get foul or to make some insane mid range jumper or something like that.
You guys like the second unit? I've loved like the second unit recently, where they've gone to we talked about it earlier, or maybe it was off the pod, where like Christian Wood has been removed from the rotation. So it's like it's Austin, LeBron, Hayes with like Rui and Vando. I love that second unit, that like non AD minutes, where we just throw a shit ton of wings out there, like next to Austin. Like I've really enjoyed that lineup so far.
There's one without LeBron that I really like too, and it's I've seen it a couple of times. It's been like Austin, Max, Cam, and like Vando or Rui with AD, and I'm just like, oh god, it's just like great. Or if it's not Max, it's like Cam or something with Rui and Vando out there. It's like crazy defensively. It happened like mainly the end of first and the third quarter ish, but like that group can switch like so crazily.
Yeah, the versatility is just there. It's just so nice. The only concern that I really have at the moment is with rumors of trades of dealing D'Lo and then not having a primary ball handler. I think that's honestly the main.
Bean stuff isn't real, honestly, for the Lakers.
Yeah,
it's been mainly drummed up by reporters.
It is dying, it seems like, but also like Rui can't be dealt until January. So like I think that's probably also why it's dying down of like, oh, we can't drag this out for another month.
Well, it's not even that. It sounded the Lakers just aren't interested.
Yeah, I mean, because of what they were asking.
They want to keep their defense and they in the contract essentially. That's been the main talking point around.
No, for sure. No, I do think like we'll have to see how Gabe is when he comes back. It's a knee that he's been dealing with, right?
Should we start doing that? Like we did with Kendrick?
Yeah, it's a knee. It's a knee. Ooh. It's a knee.
Kendrick Nunn 2.0.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Gabe has played games this year. It's not fair.
Was Kendrick Nunn ever on the bench when he was hurt?
I never remember.
Nunn
played. Because people forget, Kendrick Nunn played an awesome preseason game in Phoenix. He had like 20 points. Came off the bench, had a bunch of floaters, and like kind of showed the Kendrick Nunn experience. I was like, oh shoot, like look at this guy.
I remember. I didn't mean like he was gonna get hurt, but like I said, that was not real.
Yeah. Well, it was a preseason game, then Kendrick Nunn just proceeded to never play again until I think
it was second year, and he played I think a good chunk of games, and he was just
bad
ass.
He was terrible. Yeah, he was
but like, ass. Do you guys ever remember Kendrick Nunn like being in street clothes? Because I have no memory of that.
That was Gabe's. That was the first year with Russ, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I don't remember, because honestly, I stopped watching very quickly after that first season.
I have no memory of him being in street clothes.
Russ completely and utterly ruined Lakers basketball for me for about a year and a half.
Kendrick Nunn played 39 games for us.
Yeah.
2020 last year.
Him and
last
Russ year. Essentially were like at the hip in terms of how much they're on the Lakers, because they traded him for Rui, and then I think like a week and a half later was the Russ trade.
I don't remember 39 games of Kendrick Nunn because
he wasn't good.
I remember zero.
It was essentially me for 39 games saying, I fucking told you guys he sucks. Oh,
he averaged 7 points a game. I remember none of that.
Yeah,
zero.
No, he wasn't any good. I do want to see how Gabe is when he comes back, because I do think like a ball handler could be a concern potentially in the playoffs. I think Gabe should be fine for that. I know I'm not the biggest Gabe fan, but I'm going to try and give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Not the biggest Gabe fan.
I know. Hey, at least I like him a little bit more already this year than I do Torian. But even he's playing better. So good for him. I think the one thing I think the Lakers could be missing is a big bruiser five. Like, just a guy to eat minutes up, you know, against like a Jokic type, you know, not even like I know people have said like, you know, they should have signed Bismack Biyombo. I looked those numbers up between Bismack and Jokic, and Bismack got torched every time. It was other than like rookie year Jokic, like, and even then it was just kind of like laughable. I don't really know anyone that could really do much. Like, I think a Drummond, like if you included him in a Caruso deal, could be interesting, but like it worries me that bringing him back, he seems to have changed a little bit, and the whole team, whole team dynamic has changed since then as well. But then like then you have to go around, like Memphis isn't trading Bismack to LA.
I would have liked Tice. I didn't know Tice was this good. Still, like, he's killing it on the Clippers. And he's been really good for them. He's closing games over Zoo. He's taking threes and hitting them.
That is just bonkers that he is closing games over Zoo. I don't know what is up with Tyronn Lue. That doesn't make
sense. They got him for free. Like, he was a buyout guy for them. I didn't even know he was available. And he's playing really well.
Because he had been pretty bad after he left Boston.
Yeah.
That was why. It was Boston, and then where he was solid for 3 years. And then
he played overseas.
Then he went to Chicago.
I'm pretty sure he played in Germany last year.
I thought he was on Houston. Was he not on Houston?
He was in Houston. In 21-22, then I think he was traded back to Boston. And then he played for Indiana for 7 games last year, but I'm going to assume that that was mainly overseas. And then, yeah, Indiana bought him out. And then, yeah, no, he's played in for the Clippers for 10 games. I mean, like, give me
Zubac played like 42. Like, he played 42 minutes last night. I don't know if they're like, they're pushing him out of the rotations. He played a lot yesterday.
I know that. I love, like, that is the one guy, man. If I could go back in time and punch Magic Johnson in the nuts for a trade, that would be the one. Because like it was like you can excuse the D'Lo trade,
Mike,
right?
Muscala.
Like you can excuse the like you got a first in Brooke Lopez and like Brooke.
That's another
Brooke
guy.
Really good,
Brooke.
Oh, God, God, just don't even. But like with Zubats for Mike Muscala was so fucking stupid. Like, what are you doing? That, like, yeah, no, that was
Reggie Bullock.
And the fact that Zoo keeps signing cheap ass deals for the Clippers just digs the knife deeper in for me.
Yeah, like he's already signed 2 extensions with them.
Yeah, loved being a Laker too. He loves it way more than he liked being a Clipper. And he seemed like being a Clipper, but he loved being a Laker.
Oh God, it was so like I remember that was obviously before COVID and everything. I got the text or like the notification. I remember walking to my classroom, and thankfully I had no kids in there because then I went in there and just started cursing up a storm. I was so pissed. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like, yeah, I think, you know, like if you think of like big bruisers or whatever, like obviously Steven Adams is out. And like they would never trade. Like Nurkic isn't being traded or bought out. He would be kind of interesting, but like I'm not trading for him. Especially
Suns aren't buying him out either. Like they
no, I don't, and I don't.
That plus, I've watched 3 games against the Suns. They've all been close. No, yeah. I don't want Nurkic, man.
Yeah. Valachunas is kind of interesting, but again, just kind of like
it's too good. They're not gonna let him go.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, and they're also not.
Val was the one that I had seen a lot. I'd seen a lot of like people like. Like before the season started, a lot of Laker fan being like, "Oh, Valanciunas, he might get bought out." I think the Pelicans are gonna be fine. Honestly, like, I mean, fine in terms of they're not gonna like jump off they're not gonna like fall off unless Zion gets hurt or Ingram gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
like, they'll be fine. They'll be a playoff team. They'll be a playoff team.
Like Clay, you went through all those names. Like in my opinion, the Lakers are like. I mean, I would agree they need one, but like. They're going about it a different way. Like Rui's kind of your big bruiser, right? Like kind of like they're gonna throw, and they're just gonna be a heavy wing team. Like, we don't have the big bruiser, but you're gonna have to get through 8 arms to like get to the rim. And then like once you're there, we're going to like Vando's like elite at this. Like he'll dig down and he'll help while still being able to recover. AD's obviously best. AD might be the best in the league at this. LeBron when he's engaged is really good. Like to me, that's the style. Other than just getting a big bruiser for like the 1 in 8 teams. Now, like it's Jokic and it's everyone else, right? To me, like Jokic is the one big where we don't have a real answer, but I don't think the league does. Like, I don't know anyone in the league that has an answer for him. So no. I like that we've gone about it.
Seen him be so ass the last 2 games.
Oh, God.
I think he shot 9 for 32 against the Clippers, and he like 6 for 21 against the Rockets yesterday. It was weird. Awful.
You just have to catch him on bad nights. I mean, if there was anything that like you're like they say, you know what, we're fine with Christian Wood, we're fine with Jackson Hayes being backups. I'm totally fine with that. And then they were say, you know, we're gonna go get another defensive point guard type, you know, a Javon Carter. The Caruso talk, but I think I don't remember if we were saying it before we started recording. I don't know if Alex is going to be dealt. I just think that they value him so much, and as they should, but also to a point of like Chicago is so bad. Like they've been good
recently. Well, no, they've been bad without LaVine. I think they're like 3-1 with LaVine, and they're like something crazy, like 5-19 without LaVine or something.
They're 9-14.
Yeah, this season.
Caruso's like, a guy that it'll be more likely to go after. It'll be better to go after him in the offseason, this upcoming offseason.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
No, for sure. Like 9-14. I mean, I don't see them falling behind like the Hornets, but like they're the 12th seed. Who are they? Like, I think the Raptors should be better than them. I think the Hawks should be better than them. The Heat, mm-hmm. How the hell are the Heat 12-10 and the 9 seed? God, the East is insane. the Nets are 12-9. The Knicks are 12-9. The Cavs are 13-9. Pacers are all of a sudden 12-8 because,
man,
God, they're ridiculous.
I want to talk about Tyrese Haliburton just for a small second because, dude, but,
yeah,
he's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I saw something that like he has what like 3 games this year that he has 25 plus points, 15 plus assists, and 0 turnovers.
That's just stupid. It really is. It's just stupid.
I think it's because his jumper still just does not look pretty. So people so they guard him as if he can't shoot. You know what I mean? So like people still go under screens. They drop coverage him a lot, and he just cooking that. I don't know how consistent that'll be. I don't know how like sustainable that jump shot is, but for right
it'll be
now,
interesting to see how Lakers defend him today.
He's never been a bad shooter. That's the thing. He's never been a bad shooter.
But he wasn't like a pull-up jump shooter like this, right? Like in college.
Yes, he was.
At Iowa State he was, yeah.
He pulled up fucking
he did. He didn't do it to this extent because he's doing like 3 of them a game at this point, but he definitely would pull up. Yeah, he has that like Dame like Steph range.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm not to say that like Tyrese was, you know, either of those guys percentage wise, you know, back then. But I never thought like he was just a god awful shooter. I just remember it always felt like that was just something that was being talked about to bring his stock down to me. It never made a super ton of sense. Like
he
played 2
Bob
years
Myers
at Iowa State. 43.4% and 41.9%, so 42%, and 124 attempts his sophomore year in 22 games. That's what, 6 a game or almost
about
like 5.6. Yeah, like the dude's always been a shooter. Like wasn't prolific in terms of like he was shooting a, you know, 10 a game, but like 5 a game is not, you know, low volume. 3 his freshman year, 3 something the game. Like that's not insane volume, but it's not like, you know, 1 or 2 a game. Like and he was making them. Like it never made any sense. And I think you're right. I think it's the jump shot it's not Max Christie, you know.
The aesthetic it just doesn't look right.
Or every general Laker fan favorite Devin Booker. Like if I have to hear Stu Lance just drool over his jump shot one more time, I'm putting that man in a retirement home in San Diego myself.
I think a lot of people think that Booker is the best shooting guard in the league, and I say for sure there's 2 who are better than him. I'm pretty confident there's 2 better than him.
Ant and Shea. Yep.
Yeah.
I would take both.
I know they haven't done it in the playoffs. And I know Booker has.
Neither has
in the
Booker.
Playoffs,
neither has Booker. He shot 7%. In big games.
In elimination games. But still, like, he's had – last
he's
year
had
he had that, like, game. Series. That series against the Nuggets when he like, put up, like, 50 in back-to-back games. Like, he's done
didn't
it
miss.
In the playoffs.
He didn't miss for, like, 2 games in that series.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer has, like, a 60-point game.
Oh, okay. Let's calm down.
Let's not do that.
I'm going to do that just because, like, I get so tired of – like. I don't understand, like, Lakers fans want to talk about him just because, like, he liked Kobe or Kobe liked him, and they're just like, ooh, and just like, dude, stop it.
Yeah, I just prefer guys like Ant and Shea just in general just because of their play style. I think Shea is just smoother.
Shea is ridiculous.
He's insane, dude. And then Ant is just a killer,
also,
man.
Both of them can handle a double team. I'll just say that. Both of those dudes can handle a double team.
going away from the Halliburton and all those stuff. should we talk about the Pels game? You know, it was a blowout.
I mean, LeBron was ridiculous.
LeBron
was ridiculous. The first quarter was close,
you could tell from the very first play of the game. He just bodied Herb Jones and went after him like, oh shit, no, this is Herb Jones is like a top five defender in the league.
Yeah. Herb Jones is a really, really, really good defender, but he's also like, it looks like he weighs a buck 20 compared to LeBron, who looks, you know, 260 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you and know, just, like it's,
the first,
it's
first play even, post up and one, you're just like, oh shit. Yeah. He's locked in.
Yeah. Yeah. Their defenders are good. You know, like they also got Trey
Murphy. Yeah.
Trey Murphy, you know, like good defender, but like he's skinny, you know, like none of those like Ingram when he tried.
They don't have a big wing defender.
They don't. Dyson Daniels has for some reason lost minutes in that.
He's a good defender.
They have Jose Alvarado who's playing, and they have like you know Trey, and they have Herb, and they have Brandon, and they have Pollum.
They also used a lot of like a top eight pick on Dyson Daniels. You have to play that guy. So
I would say because we had talked about before, like a Jaden Ivey, we've talked about him before. But I would say like, oh, maybe you can try to sneak him, but Pelicans are never doing a deal with the Lakers ever again. They're never trading with Lakers.
No. The year is 23-42, and the Lakers and Pelicans still have not. The Red Sox and Yankees will be making more trades together.
The Red Sox and Yankees just made a trade.
I know, unfortunately. You lost me there.
But it's
baseball. They
imagine if the Lakers, ball, the Lakers and the Celtics made a trade.
Okay. Yeah, they made a trade before. I think like Rick Fox, right? Was it a deal with them?
The '90s.
Yeah, no, it was a long ass time ago. No, but with LeBron
it's funny how many former Lakers have played on the Celtics and vice versa. That's funny to me.
Yeah, but both teams have Shaq.
Was it worth the $1 million to go play in Boston? Was it worth it?
Shaq? Not even like Shaq. Rondo, Brian Shaw played on the Celtics.
But Rondo and Brian Shaw are like. It's Shaq. Like Shaq is like generational center.
I'm telling you right now, I have an irrational fear of the Bulls trading Alex Caruso to the Celtics. I have such an irrational fear of that happening because there's rumors that they're looking for bench help and defensive help.
I have a question for you guys because I've kind of passed this question around. I wanted to save it for the pod. Mm-hmm. How big a gap is there for like Vando and Caruso? Like how big a gap is that? So like
it's hard to compare.
So Caruso made first team all defense last season on a Bulls team that didn't make the playoffs. Like, that's extremely impressive. Caruso takes like 2.5 threes a game. Vando, I think, is like at 0.8 or 0.9, whatever. I still think in the playoffs, teams aren't gonna guard Alex Caruso. Like I just don't think they're gonna respect his jump shot. Like he's shooting well this year. He's shooting like 47% from three. That's obviously not who he is. At least I don't think. That would be ridiculous for him to finish that way. But
oh, that's a If he's a shooter like that, he's like a top like 50 player. Well, like right. Legitimately. That's,
yeah.
I don't think he's that.
Once he shaved his head, he
instantly became, you know.
Like a good offensive player. And he's had like game winners and like game tying threes and stuff like that. But
he shot 36% from three last year for the Bulls on 2.3 attempts. Like, I mean, he's not to say that he's at 3.5 attempts this year and he's shooting 46.4%.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
of all the guys that we've lost since Kobe left, Kobe retired, I should say, I think Caruso stings the most to see do well out of anybody. Like, and it's not even close to me.
Just defensive impact, though. Like, how big a gap is there? Because I think there is one. Hard to quantify for me because they kind of do similar things, right? Caruso's a great team defender, and so is Vando.
Mm-hmm.
They're both guys you can throw on point of attack, you know, guards or wings. They both play like 20 to 25 minutes a game, so these aren't like 35-minute a game players either. I'm just interested in that conversation. How big a gap is there? They both make around the same. Vando makes a little more this year. Caruso's going to make more after his next deal. I'm just curious what the conversation is around like the gap between those two as players. And obviously Caruso being just this white guy, I think adds like a niche for him that like changes a little bit of it, like in terms of the notoriety that he gets, but just in terms of their impact, I think that's interesting. I think both of them are extremely impactful defensively.
I would say I think Caruso is a top five defender in the league.
Okay.
I think he's the best guard defender in the league. Just point blank of people who are guard. And I don't know if I would really count like a, so like when I think of like the best defenders in the league, I think of an AD, obviously. I think of like Giannis. I think of like OG, Herb Jones. I'm missing one guy. Those are the main guys. Like Derek White and Drew Holiday, I think they're in that conversation. But I think Caruso is better than both of them. I think Vando is like a tier below. It's not like it's not a big jump off point, but
sure.
It's just I've seen the disruption that Caruso causes, and we've seen Vando cause the disruption, but the Caruso is just such a smart player. Then again, that's not to discredit Vando's defensive IQ either, but like, he thinks about defense the way LeBron thinks about offense, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he's more of a genius in that yeah. respect.
And it's just like I've seen him like lock down Kevin Durant before. Like legitimately lock down Kevin Durant. This season I've seen him do that. Mm-hmm. And now that Vando can't, it's just different bodies and different athletic ability and stuff like that. So it's not like a massive gap to me, but it's a big enough gap where if you ask me if I want a Caruso or Vanderbilt, I'd rather have Caruso. If we don't have one of them on the team, I think I'd rather have Caruso.
I'd agree with that as well. I think if you were going to do a one-on-one swap, the Lakers would be the one that would have to add an asset to it, right? If you're going to get Caruso for Vando, you'd probably have to add an asset. I think Vando's more oppressive. Like he's just more physically dominant on a player, right? Like there's that play I posted mm-hmm. where CJ and Brandon just didn't want any part of him, and they were like switching back and forth. They just like Caruso doesn't really cause that. Caruso's more like just I think solid, and he's gonna beat you to a spot every time. I think Vando's just more chaotic. I think this team needs like chaos a little bit. I feel like our players are a little too cool for school. Like D'Lo and even Austin can kind of fall into that. That's why I like Vando's just frenetic energy for this team. And I think Caruso fits more the bill of a like just solid team. He's more into the Max Christie kind of boat for me, where it's like just extremely solid, do what I do. I'm not going to be overly oppressive on defense, but I'm just going to be extremely solid. And like you said, one of the best defenders in the league. I think it's an interesting combo. I think they both kind of fill in the same archetype, like in terms of what they're trying to be. Like these just non-offensive players, these playmakers on offense that can like screen and beat and have a bunch of different roles. So that's interesting
I think it's kind of like in the middle of kind of like where you're both saying of like, I think that the oppressive thing is definitely interesting. Cause I also think it's partly because Caruso's 6'5", you know, and like, he's not super long. While Vando's like 6'8", 6'9", with like a 7'1", 7'2" wingspan. Like
Vando might be like 6'11". You watch him stand next to AD. That dude's huge. That is
small. But I mean, he might be 6'9" to 6'10". Like I'm going off of like measurements of like when he was at the combine, you know, he was like 6'8", 6'9". I mean, he could have definitely grown. I think it's because like it's Caruso might be a little bit smarter in the way that he goes about it. And as Merch said, not to say that like Vando's an idiot, like not even remotely close to saying anything like that. It's just, I think because Vando is so much more athletically gifted and size gifted, like again, also Caruso's not a bad athlete at all. Like we saw it, like that dude can get up. Like he's fast, he is quick, he is agile. But it's there's also a difference of like when that dude is 6'9", you know, and like that, and he's just able to naturally cover more ground because of just how big he is. So like, I have him like Merch and I think talked about this either last week or maybe even off the pod of like that tiers of stuff, you know? Like Vando mm-hmm. is a top 15 defender for both mm-hmm. of us at the minimum. I could make an argument where he's top 10, you know, because like Giannis might have the higher highs of when Giannis mm-hmm. is playing elite defense, but he doesn't play that way all the time anymore. Giannis mm-hmm. is 30, like, or however old he is now. Like, he's taken a beating. Like, 2 years ago, whenever his back was so bad, like, he was missing playoff games, or it could have been even last year. I can't remember.
It was last season, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that takes a back injury. I don't know, Raj, if from, like, weightlifting and everything, if you've ever dealt with a back injury. I dealt with a sciatic nerve issue, not this past summer, but the summer before. I could not move. Like my wife had to help me into the car to go to the doctor and walk into the doctor's office. Like, and you know, like obviously we haven't met in person, but like Merge has seen me. I'm a very big and capable guy. Like, you know, I'm not tiny, you know, like, and the fact that was how debilitating that is, you know, but like a back issue that's going to make you miss playoff games is something that is cause for concern. Like that's the biggest time to play, you know, is the playoffs. And if you're missing playoff games, so anyways, so like Giannis may have those higher highs. He's also even bigger and faster and stronger than Vando, but like mm-hmm. Vando just carries it over longer, you know, just because like that's all obviously his main priority. Caruso, because Caruso he's probably as athletic as Vando, I would say. Maybe not anymore, but like he's still pretty freakish athlete. It just obviously because like he's white, the joke likes to be made fun of that he's white, right. He's not athletic. But like he's had to make up with it for using his intelligence on it. And Vando will get there. I know he will because, like, he shows the instincts for it. But Alex has had to start to use that already because Alex is, what, 29, 30? So, like, he's starting to have to – and he's had to deal with more injuries throughout his career already that he's had to pick and choose how he is. I would say they're probably in the same tier of defender. You know, like, as Birch said – I think I have Caruso probably at like when he's at his top, probably the best guard defender, just mm-hmm. overall guard defender. Like you could probably possibly say Marcus Smart in there.
Drew Holiday,
but those guys also defend up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caruso, it's why I don't include like a Herb Jones.
Like Drew is a one who usually defends twos and threes. Same with Marcus uh-huh. Smart. He's really a one or a guy in a one size body, but I mean, Marcus Smart defends up to fours. Like mm-hmm. that's one of the things. It's just
I mean, he's the one that would be defending LeBron if we were to play any Marcus Smart team. It was Marcus Smart on LeBron.
Yeah, those guys make like $20 million a year too, right? Those are like, yeah. You know, they're out of the price range as well of a Caruso.
Yeah, I mean, right. And like the thing, Marcus Smart probably just got paid more just because he was a Boston guy and a first round pick and, you know, more accolades beforehand, you know, and Caruso, two-way guy, you know, two-year mm-hmm. contract with the Lakers and then finally went and, you know, got his deal. I bet, like, if it was kind of like he was drafted in the first round, he probably would have made more money. Because, like, I don't think Marcus Smart is the world's better offensive player than Caruso.
No. And more willing shooter, I guess.
His ability to guard fours more is definitely more appealing. But then I think that Caruso could guard a one better than a Marcus Smart can defend a one. Mm-hmm. So it is difficult to kind of take them, you know, because like there are probably more wing defenders that are just better. So like Vando just kind of gets lost in that while there's only a handful of just really elite guards better defenders, you know? So that's, that for me is where I have a hard time with it. I think for this team, like Caruso would make a lot of sense because yeah, they don't really have a guard defender, but like
it's for that Christie, chaos, really. That,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and for that chaos,
Cam's been fine. Cam's been
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think they'd be fine as well. You know, it's just, I know that Caruso can do it, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, we've seen Caruso do it against like Damian Lillard in the playoffs, you know, like James Harden in the playoffs. We've seen him do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is why, like, I pretty much, I would have no problem giving up JHS. I have no problem giving up first salaries, whatever. I just don't really want to give up max for Caruso. Mm-hmm. And I understand if people would. It's just possibly losing a guy for 10 years or something like that, you know, just hurts. And, you know, maybe Caruso would put you over the top for a title. And, you know, flags fly forever, as they say, or banners hang forever in basketball. So it would be different. But I never believe in this guarantees this game, you know, because no. if you
had just injuries always happen and
yeah, if this guarantees it, you know, blah blah blah, like the Clippers would be the number one seed. They, you know, they got James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and
I'll give them some credit. They have been better recently, but they're still like, they're not a team that worries me just in the long run. No, I've seen how Harden and Russ are in the playoffs, and who knows if Kawhi and Paul George are going to be healthy in the playoffs.
That's the thing. Yeah. Kawhi is just never. But I think you add Caruso to this squad. Like, this is the best. Like, I already think this is an elite defense. Like, just as
I think it's already the best defense.
Yeah. But, like you put Caruso, this is the best defense in the league. Up there with Boston. Like, I think this is probably one of the best defense in the league if you add Caruso to this. And you don't lose any of your, like, mainstays defensively. Like, if it's just a straight Caruso for whoever,
it was like JHS and
kind of first round pick, so like, and you use your trade exception to like fill the rest of the money in. That's where I think like this is the best defense in the league, like bar none. Caruso is the best guard defender in the league. I agree with you, Merge, in that top five defense. Yeah, it's great. We had Caruso and Gary Payton Jr. just running around in our South Bay League for.
The Gary Payton, we talked about him last week. The Gary Payton Jr. conversation pisses me off because Gary Payton never really developed more. He's just been given the minutes because, like, it's just, he just needed the minutes to show that he can do what he can do. That was always the thing. He was like, it's not like he all of a sudden became like a 40% 3-point shooter, you know, like. He's a defensive menace. Like he's like a him and a Bruce Brown type, you know, like defensive menaces who can handle the ball a little bit and they're, you know, they can hit an open three, you know,
that's hard to stick out though in like a G League environment, right? Like it's tough to like have that be your calling card. And that's why most players just go right into, let me average 25 a game and just see if I can get a call up doing that. And GP2 was like a leader in steals. I think he like led in steals and deflections in the G League, but yeah. Also, like Steph allows you to like play a different way, right? Steph changes the geometry of the floor to where you can play three non-shooters and you're okay. And I think that's why Gary Payton is able to like thrive over there. Like he went to Portland, and he wasn't as good. Like
he also got hurt. And also Dame had gotten hurt, I think, as well.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, for sure. I agree.
He's on the Gabe Vincent money. 4 years, 40. Yeah.
Man. I would do that essentially a trade straight up for both of them. Obviously, Golden State's never doing that, but
and they're both hurt too.
Yeah, they're both hurt. But yeah, no. I know Raj, you gotta go, so I don't want to hold you. Was there any final things that you wanted to chat about?
No, I think that's pretty much, I think the team is coalescing. I love the wings. We finally have a wing heavy team. I think you guys have been asking for it. I think, you know, everyone's been really pining for it. And, it's wild to watch. It's crazy. Cause you watching New Orleans, like they also are a wing heavy team, but like they have a ceiling towards it. Like they have all these wings and only one guy I respect guarding LeBron and Herb Jones. Like, it's weird watching that team, like, battle us against us and, like, play the same style as we do, as, like, a pound the ball inside. And, like, we didn't really get into the New Orleans game. But, yeah, like, it's been fun. I think, you know, I think the team's going in the right direction. 14-9, 5 games above .500. IST title game tonight, which I hope to be in the building for. So, yeah, should be fun.
Nice. Well, Merge, any final thoughts?
No. Go Lakers. IST tonight. Most very important game. Very important.
Merge, are you going to Denver Nuggets games? Are you going to games?
I haven't been to one this year. I was going to try to go to opening night in Denver, and then we just decided not to go, and then probably for the best and say lost.
There was an OKC Warriors game last night, and there was like a shit ton of open seats, like in the lower bowl. What better things do you have to do in Oklahoma City than go watch like Steph Curry versus Shea? Like, how are there open seats there? I don't get it. Like
the Phoenix Suns were playing, and their stadium was empty.
Right. But Phoenix, I think, is a more touristy destination. I've never been to Phoenix, but I'm guessing it's more. Oklahoma City, you have open seats? Yeah. Like, what?
There were tickets for that Bucks Knicks game. There were seats that were like low bowl, going for like $40.
Dude, Clipper games, like that Clipper Nuggets game, I was going to go, but the traffic's like an hour and a half from where I'm at. $13 to go watch a healthy champion Nuggets team and a healthy Clippers team, as much as we joke about their players, like those are legit NBA stars. $13 to get in the door for that? They still can't sell out?
No, I think that's actually a conversation that will take multiple podcasts to talk about.
For sure. I'm just
like it because like if you go look at like NFL ratings, for example, and Raj, I know you don't like the NFL.
I don't like it. I just don't watch it.
Yeah, but like their lowest quality games are getting oftentimes more viewers than high end basketball games.
But see, I don't like that like comparison because they play like 10-20% of the games, right? So their saturation has to be more
for
each game.
I think there's also an argument for like them being on CBS and Fox are very like easier to like watch channels. Well, not like ESPN's a hard channel to watch, but ESPN TNT compared to Fox and CBS.
But the ABC games get like similar.
Yeah,
ratings.
It'll be interesting tonight, you know, with the Laker game. But it's on ABC tonight.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's going to be really interesting. That's a really interesting conversation that we may end up having to talk about through the year, because like, I also just wonder. One of like NBA analysis is so like they only want to talk about
who hates their own sport more than NBA analysts, even baseball analysts.
Yeah. I mean, baseball analysts are getting better, but you have then Manfred or whatever the hell his name is that actually is the commissioner.
Still, NBA competition is so much worse. It's like ridiculous.
It's anti three, anti analytics, anti everything, you know. And I think
who that's really good. I thought Doc Rivers has been a really good commentator. I really enjoyed his commentary.
Glenn Rivers has always been a good commentator. Glenn Rivers.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to compare to like when Van Gundy was there, Mark Jackson was there. Charles Barkley and Shaq. Like, I understand people like watching inside the NBA. Like, I get the entertainment value of it when they're not talking about the modern NBA. Like, if they're like I said this to Alan a couple days ago. If Stephen A. Smith, Charles Barkley and Shaq were just podcasters telling stories, I think they'd be respected so much more right now for their post NBA career for the two NBA guys and Stephen A. Smith with his ridiculous takes and his BS that he does on a daily basis. Like, I would much rather have, like, remember when Dwayne Wade was on the panel for Inside the NBA? I think Dwayne Wade does a really good job talking about it. When Draymond retires, he's going to be a great guy on that. on that inside the NBA, because he probably has that lined up for him when he retires, because he's been on it regardless. It's just so frustrating. Like, I legitimately turn off or do something else or mute the TV when I'm watching a TNT game. I'm like, I don't want to listen to these guys. I don't care.
Kenny is terrible.
No, he's not. I think Kenny's good, and I think EJ is a good host.
Yeah. I think the thing is Shaq wants it back to like down low post, and like
they're talking about AD when they blew out the fucking Pelicans by 40. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. And then you also have Charles Barkley, who hates threes, even though he shot over 1,000 for his career, but he never shot over 30. Like, he's a below 30% 3-point shooter for his career. There's a reason why he doesn't like the modern NBA, is because he sucked ass at it. So, yeah. No, I think.
The ESPN one, it's Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith.
Wilbon is one of the worst ever. Like, I remember when I was a kid and I would watch PTI with him, with Wilbon and Kornheiser, and I liked it then because I was young and stupid. But like, if you were an adult and you still think those guys are good, like,
at the very least, Stephen A. Smith is funny. Wilbon is just nothing.
Yeah,
no. He doesn't even watch the league. That's my problem. Wilbon's not even watching games. No. Like, he's not even watching league. No. He's like, oh, this is the first time I watched Tyrese Haliburton. How's this the first time you watch Tyrese Haliburton? Yeah. He's like in year three. This is my first time watching Tyrese Haliburton.
Year three of Indiana. Like, he was in Sacramento for like two before that.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah.
We'll do a ratings pod. I'm into that. We'll do one. We'll do a ratings pod whenever we can. I'm down with that.
Yeah, we got to get Raj out of here. he's got a car ride to go. But thanks, Raj, for joining us bright and early. And then hopefully we can get you on again maybe next week if you're available, so we can talk about the final.
Yes. AST, final baby.
I think we have 4 or 5 games coming up until Saturday, because they have a back-to-back coming up against the Spurs.
Spurs who are on a 16-game losing streak. The Pistons who are on a 19-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Just some battle.
The Spurs are tanking. The Spurs are. You can obviously tell the Spurs are tanking.
I don't even know what the Spurs are tanking for. There's nothing to tank for this year. Like, there's a couple good guys. Don't get me wrong, but like, there's
Cooper,
not
Cooper Flagg.
No, next year.
Oh, he's actually a legit prospect. He's probably gonna be the number one pick. Cameron Boozer.
There's Ron Holland. I think it
Holland.
Is
in, Holland. Yeah.
Yeah. In the G League, probably goes.
There's a dude in Australia.
There's a few. Mm-hmm. Most of the talent this year is in Australia, it seems like.
Either G League Ignite or Australia. There's like barely any college guys, it seems like.
Yeah. They haven't gotten those NIL deals yet, apparently. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk all about that. Hopefully we can get Raj on next week. If not, maybe the week after, something. But
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Make sure to go follow Raj. Merge and I don't matter. And then everything with everything that Raj does, like the all access and everything like that. I got that wrong, right? I looked it up earlier.
You did, yes.
Cool. So, Raj is the best. Big Swole. Bye, y'all.
Peace. Yep.